Blog Talk Radio.
You're tuned into the Anointed Thought Show on Anointed Sounds Radio, the show that brings you everyday topics from the Christian perspective. This month, we have been dedicating this month to all of our Christian authors out there, and I thank all the listeners that have been tuning in, calling in, giving us feedback, and been very much interested in the topics that we have going on today. I am Elena Sanders.
And I'm Lisa Williams.
And we'd like to thank you so much for tuning in to us today on Anointed Thoughts. We have a special guest. Who wrote the book of Give Me Destiny and Dante's Destiny, which is a very awesome book. You'll definitely be blessed. So make sure you stay tuned in. Today we have Mr. James A. Jemison. Say hi to the audience.
Hi, everybody.
How you doing today?
I'm doing great.
I'm telling you, your books have definitely been a blessing. I was still reading up on them today. I mean, it's just awesome. I'm a teacher as well, and I was in class. I put my students in on an assignment and started reading the book again.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's been definitely a true blessing. What was your aspiration of becoming a Christian author?
Well, actually, the same thing. You know, I'm a teacher. That's one of my giftings. It was revealed to me years ago that God had anointed me and gifted me to be a teacher of the word. And so I always saw writing as something that would complement that gift. But unfortunately, you know, there's so many people that are either gifted or think they're gifted. And so you end up standing in this long line of teachers waiting for an opportunity to teach. And so it just hit me one day, look, you can start writing now. You don't have to wait until years down the road.
Amen.
And so in the process of writing my first book, Chapter 1, after I got a taste of writing, I was like, man, this is pretty cool, you know, to create and just to share your heart. And then God put on my heart, you know, the concept of destiny and how His people need to understand that they have a destiny and that they need to fulfill it.
Wow.
So that, you know, that was the process that started, you know, years ago.
That's awesome. I was reading in your book as you were saying that we as Christians can't find our fulfillment in our lives. What do you mean by that?
Well, too often we're looking for things. We're either looking for more money, more material things, companionship, and all these things bring a level of fulfillment, but it's temporary.
Okay.
And I don't believe that it was meant to be the answer to the ultimate fulfillment, and that's knowing that your life is significant, that your life matters, that all the drama or whatever you've gone through has been worth it because you see the impact that your life is having on others. And but that's only, you can only do that when you get a vision from God about what you're supposed to be doing. And if you don't have that vision, then you become very, you know, self-centered or self-focused. And you can't get fulfillment just only thinking about yourself. It's not possible. And so then you have to lean on other things, and then when it doesn't satisfy, you go to the next thing. And it's a never-ending cycle until you break in and say, you know what, life is not about how much I can get, but actually how much can I give.
Wow.
And my goal.
Now, do you write from a – oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, go ahead.
No, I was just going to ask you, are you – when you write – these things, are you writing from your own personal experience or experiences of people you know? Or, you know, what motivates or motivated that thought process right there?
Most of it is inspiration from the Word of God and just a little bit of my experience from the standpoint knowing what's in me, my own personal passion to fulfill the call and plan of God for my life. I mean, that's priority one. There's nothing more important to me than knowing that I'm fulfilling the call of God, that when I get to the end of my life and I have to stand before Him and give an account, I can say I finished my course. You know, we may not do it perfectly. We may miss some steps here and there, but the overall total of your life, it should be one that says, you know, hey, I've done what God has called me to do. So it's personal that calls me, you know, it's a personal desire that calls me to write this book, as well as what I understand about the Word of God, and mainly mm-hmm. the parable of the talent. That scripture
right.
is really the foundation for the whole book, because when you understand that scripture, you understand that our Lord wants us to be productive. And he even said in another
right.
place that herein is your father, is our Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So he's always talking about fruit, productivity, increase. And
right.
if we allow fear or distractions
wow,
to come
yeah.
into our lives, then we won't be as fruitful as God wants us to be.
You were saying
right.
that there are different steps of obtaining your destiny or getting to your destiny.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them is what you just said earlier was the vision. You have to write it down and make it plain.
Yeah.
Why is it so important to write down that vision?
Oh, because it's so easy to forget, you know. Just like, you know, somebody introduced themselves to me and they tell me their name and I shake their hand. And I'm telling you, like, a few seconds later, it's gone. And, you know, I don't
I know
like
that.
You know, I hate that because they might come back 5 minutes later and I know I met them. And for the life of me, I can't remember their name. And so
yes.
when you talk about a vision, this is something that is meant to define you.
Okay.
This is something that will give your life identity and reason, you know, direction. So it's very important to write it down and to meditate on it till it becomes a part of you. And that can't happen if you just leave it in your mind and in your memory. And if you don't have a good memory, if you don't really focus in on it, you can forget it or forget some of the details.
Amen.
So it's very important. And plus, this is coming from God. So anything
right.
that God reveals to you is worth writing down.
Wow.
Wow, that's awesome. And you were talking a little bit about strongholds and struggles. And that was so interesting to me when I read, you said that strongholds or struggles are nothing more than bad habits.
Exactly.
Right.
You know, but we give this powerful name to us, a stronghold. And the Bible tells us that we're supposed to be pulling down strongholds. You
right.
know, not being captive by them. And so our language needs to change. Our understanding of the word needs to change. When you look at someone who becomes an alcoholic, you know, it's a habit that then turns into an addiction where their body begins to crave that thing. But
right.
it can be broken. We know people who
right.
go through programs and they break the addiction and they're free. And so I talk about that because if you really want to go forward, you're going to have to be willing to let go of those things that are weighing you down. You know, the Bible says to remove every weight and the sin that easily beset us. And so we have
right.
to remove those struggles, regardless of what it is, so we can be freer to do the will of God. Even for some people, it might be even financial struggles. You know, that becomes a form of bondage. So it varies.
Right. And James, you were mentioning about the changing of our mind.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, I was telling Lisa, I said this book is very, very powerful. And those who are listening to the sound of our voices today, I mean, you really need to go get this book. Because one of the things that you mentioned was a change of our mind. You said that we cannot change the way we think, but we can change what we allow in there. Why do you think that we can, as Christians, cannot renew, or I wouldn't say a renewal, but cannot change the way that we think?
Oh, you could definitely change the way you think. You can't change the brain is basically an organ.
Right.
And so you can't help but to reason with the information you've received.
Okay.
And so you have to then put in new information.
New information.
Yeah, that's going to counter what you've
upgrade.
Already seen. Like, you know, I grew up, you know, with people in my family who were very superstitious. They would say things like, you know, don't split the pole. Okay? I mean,
or don't step on a crack.
I was just telling one of my students about that the other day.
You know, boy, get from under that ladder. What you doing? You know that 7 years bad luck.
Right.
Don't swing
right.
Right.
So words are, you know, Bible says life and death are in the power of the tongue. So if I receive
right.
that, if I don't bring anything
yes.
else into my brain to counter that, then my brain has no choice but to process that information.
And
so that's what I mean. That's
yes.
what I mean. Your brain, you can't help but to reason and rationalize because your brain was made to do that. So that's why it's important to renew your mind with the Word of God. So I'm not saying that you can't change your thoughts. You just have to be careful what you allow in, or whatever's in there already is going to basically guide you. Mm-hmm. And it may not be the Word of God. It may be fear. It may be misunderstanding.
And how do, as far as you were talking about destiny and misunderstanding, what would you suggest for those that are listening? How do they get the understanding or get away from that fear factor? We know the Word of God is one of, but as a human, you know, we tend to go to our human nature, but we do call on God when we need Him at times. But as a person who has studied this path, what would be your suggestion?
As far as how to get away from fear or
fear, as far yes,
yeah. First, you have to face it. You have to identify it. You have to identify what's stopping you. It's mainly for those. You know God has a call on your life. You know some of the details of it. God's been giving you visions or dreams or
right. The
pastor has prophesied or something where you know, okay, I'm called to start a daycare.
Okay.
And then when you look at your life, you don't have a business plan. You don't have a name for the business. You don't have any steps in place to follow up that word. So you have to take the time out in prayer and just really wrestle with your own soul to find out what's stopping you, and then deal with it. And it may mean getting with another brother or sister, sitting down with, you know, an elder or someone that can give you counsel of how to overcome it. I wouldn't recommend you can't do it by yourself, and as the body of Christ, we weren't meant to do things on our own. We were meant to do it in the power of God, first and foremost, as well as with the brethren, you know, finding courage, finding motivation from each other. So you may have to share your heart with someone that's close to you that you can trust and say, you know what, I know God's called me to start this daycare, but I don't know what it is. I just can't make that first step. And then pray, and you just keep going at it until you break it.
You were
but if you
awesome.
Just... If you just leave it alone and think it's going to change on its own or God is going to do something, he's not. Until you go to him and say, God, I want this broken in my life, and then God will work with you with those baby steps. You know, I tell people all the time, don't quit your day job. You know, I still have
right.
a full-time job. You know, and I'm taking baby steps towards where I believe God is leading me. So I think that helps. You know, you don't have to just jump out of the boat all at once. You know, put your toe in the water, feel the temperature, you know, work, you know, go at your own pace.
You said put your toe in the water. And one of the things you were mentioning earlier, you were saying that the body of Christ is not meant to do things on our own. And in your book you mentioned that we need to stay humble, that many Christians take pride in resisting the devil by themselves.
Exactly. And I was one of them. I did that for many years, and what happens, you become judgmental of others that can't seem to stand as well as you are standing. And the Bible clearly tells us, you know, he that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. And so we should never be in a place where we just think we got it together and we all that in a bag of chips. And so humility is key, and then plus God says he resists the proud, but give grace to the humble. So humility is a key factor in allowing the grace of God to rest on your life and to cover up those faults and insecurities that we all have.
Mm.
Yeah,
very
but I was definitely one of them. I was a lone ranger and thinking I had it all together until life really began to challenge me and fall on my butt, and I'm like, oh, wow.
But do you think that's a form of pride?
Yeah, it is. It's pride, and it's dangerous because pride doesn't allow you to see the traps and the holes that are right in front of you. And that's why, you know, Bible says pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. You can't see the danger. Because your pride is constantly telling you, oh, I got it all together. I don't need anyone. I don't even need God. And God says, okay. and he steps back. I mean, he's still there in your life, but he's okay, I'll let you have it. And then boom, before you know it, you know, you're in a situation that you never thought you would be in because your pride didn't even allow you to see it ahead of time. But
right.
Humility and wisdom will open your eyes to the traps that are coming, and you'll avoid them.
And also a little bit, James, you were talking in your book, and this is something, Lisa, you probably can relate to, it might expound upon. You were saying as Christians, we try to be faithful to God's house, and nothing's wrong with being faithful to God's house, but we become so faithful that we wear ourselves out to where we feel like we have to do something. If we don't do what the church says or somebody from the church says something and we didn't do it, we feel guilty.
Yeah,
And I know from experience, I can tell you, I used to be like that. That's to the point to where I had somebody from church ask me, I was jumping, and I would stop everything I'm doing. I probably had to do something for a client, but I would stop everything I'm doing and make sure that it's taken care of at the church. But at the end, in the long run, I'm tired because I have to put in overtime with my client that I might have something to do. Mm-hmm. But I find that happens with a lot of Christians. Why do you think so?
Well, again, you know, lack of understanding, lack of both not only on the individual Christian, but also sometimes the one who's asking, you know, maybe leadership or, your fellow brother and sister, they don't understand your schedule, and it's not possible for them unless you reveal it. And then, two, they don't understand that God has called us to be balanced. You know, the Bible says that all the weights of the bag are his work. So everything that's on your plate in your life should be because God told you to put those things on your plate. Everything that's in the bag should be because God says, okay, you know, Elena, I want you to do X, Y, and Z. That's it. And if we really are led of God and really allow God to speak into our lives, we'll be balanced. We'll have the rest. We have the health, family members won't suffer, you know, friends won't suffer. Because there's more to us than doing the church thing. You know, I have a family, I have a daughter. As soon as I come in the house, she wants to spend time with me.
Right.
And so I have to know how to balance my schedule and say no. And if they get mad, if they think I'm not committed, you know, God knows what I can do. Because, you can't do anyone any good in a hospital.
Exactly.
You wore yourself out so much that you're sick, and, you know, that's not the will of God. So I think, you know, people who are listening really need to take to heart, really need to examine their lives and say, okay, let me, and you might have to write down your schedule and look at it, and then it will hit you. Oh, man, I'm doing way too much.
Exactly.
And then you don't have time for exercise, you don't have time for rest, just to kick back and watch a movie. You know, God cares about all that.
Yeah, Elena, to answer your question from my perspective, being a new Christian, I think I looked at the church as God, and I looked at the pastor as God. And this ties into what you just said about because God said so. Because I didn't have that understanding that to distinguish between the voice of the church or the pastor versus the voice of God. And being young and in the church and wanting to do everything right and wanting to please God, I thought that's what I was doing. I thought that's what I was doing. So I took on everything, and I didn't wear myself out on several occasions. And not only that, I held things to my heart. And when I felt like I wasn't meeting the expectations in all these areas, I took it to heart. So it started to affect my health. I got anxiety, you know, and those type of things. But thank God, he's a loving God, and he showed me that the church is not him. And just because it's a good thing, it doesn't mean it's a God thing or necessarily that he said to do it. And once I got that ironed out in my head, it was much easier to cope with things and to be okay within myself to say, no, I can't do that.
Interesting. That was very, very good, because I know that one of the things with me, that's definitely one of my issues, but I definitely had to to learn, especially when I became exhausted.
Right.
God will stop you. He will stop you.
He has a way to sit you down.
Okay. You don't want to do it, so let me just make you really tired and you cannot move out of bed. You're going to do that. And one of the things I was reading, too, James Ewart, in this book, and we're going to go over to Dante's Destiny as well, but this Give Me Destiny is like my book, my all-time book. And you were mentioning that we as humans make excuses for certain things and we really don't say what they really mean. And for instance, you said life is not meant to be safe. Life is meant to be lived and enjoyed with every trust and turn in the road and every wind and storm that blows our way. And one example you gave, you said, usually people will move to the suburbs because they say they want to raise their family.
Uh-huh.
But they're not saying the true reason why they moved to the suburbs or the true reason why they put their children in private school. What made you just put that example in your book?
I don't know. You know, sometimes I look at life, you know, and one of the things, I've heard this and I've seen it evident in my life, that a true teacher can learn from everything. You know, you learn from your experiences, you learn from observation, you can pull examples from a lot of different things that you see. And I know growing up, I lived in a neighborhood that used to be a different culture.
Okay.
So there came a point where that culture moved out, and then African Americans moved in. And you see this pattern. And I think one of the reasons, because, you know, crime or whatever may have built up in that neighborhood, so people start moving out. And then the crime finds its way into that new neighborhood, and then people move out. And so, just from observation living for a little while, I realized that a lot of times we do this because we want to feel safe. And then when something happens, the first thing people say on the news, oh, this is such a quiet neighborhood and nothing like this has ever happened. So they're like shocked and, you know, like, how could this ever happen? And things happen, you know, and if you're not careful, you can be running your whole life from what may happen and or may not happen. And so you have to come to a place where you know where you're supposed to be and you're doing what God's called you to do. And I'm not saying going to the roughest neighborhood or whatever. You do, you know, you use wisdom. Right. But I think a lot of the times, you know, we do things subconsciously to be safer, whether it's a bigger car, a bigger house, a quieter neighborhood, you know, because we want to be safe. And there's nothing wrong with being safe, but sometimes you're going to have to be willing to take risks and not worry about your life and trust God that he will protect you. I don't go down dark alleys, but if I have to be out at night, I'm going to trust God. I know Christians, they won't go out at night. They won't go into D.C. at night. And
do you think
that's
a form of wisdom? Do you think it might also be a form of just being wise? That I know that something it might be out there. I'm not saying it could be part of fear as well.
Yeah.
But just an example, do you think that might just be wisdom?
Sometimes it is. I mean, but that's up to the individual to be able to determine that. Like I said, I knew I have a family member who made a statement, oh, I don't go into D.C. at night. I mean, so the whole District of Columbia is off limits to you at night. And I'm thinking, you know, yeah, there's some rough spots, but come on, you know.
And put it like that.
Yeah, and so it then depends on what's your reasoning. Like for me, I'm not going to be out 2, 3, 4 in the morning because wisdom has shown me that a lot of crime, the times, you know, you hear about people getting hurt, it's like 1 in the morning, shots were heard and blah, blah, blah. There's nothing open at 1, 2 in the morning, except the clubs, which I don't do. So
right.
I'm home. So that's a different thing versus, the lights went on, let me go in the house. That's fear. And
right,
so the individual
really has
to examine it. Like I said before, you have to be real with yourself and examine why are you doing what you're doing. Too often
Amen.
We do things subconsciously, and we don't stop to think, okay, why am I doing that? And if we would answer that question, we would be amazed at what we come up with.
Yes. Then you'll actually start to counter it because once it's identified, it's like uncovering it. So once you identify that you're doing it, then it's easier to address the issue,
exactly.
The thing that you keep going over in your mind.
Exactly.
And for some people, it becomes an obsession.
Mm-hmm. And then, and then the worst thing about it, not only is the adult dealing with it, but then we end up passing that on to our children.
To the children, right.
Yeah. Oh, no, don't do that. Oh, no, slow down. And
right.
You have to balance that. I mean, yeah, you want them safe. I'm constantly telling my daughter, stop jumping on the couch. No, get down. You're going to hurt yourself. But there's an aspect of that where I have to let her kind of play a little bit, let her be
right.
A little adventurous, because I don't want to totally shut down that
right.
Part of her that's courageous. She wants to try it. She wants to, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So as a parent, I have to balance that out with safety as well as allowing her a little room to be a child. But we shut them down so quick, and a lot of times it's fear. You know,
mm-hmm.
Oh, you're going to break something. Oh, God, you're going to hurt something. No, you got to check that.
Wow.
Jack, tell us a little bit about Dante's destiny. What was your aspiration for writing this book?
Now, that book, the desire or the inspiration was similar to Give Me Destiny, but on the flip side, if you will. I realized after, you know, writing now 3 books that are Christian-based books and really have a lot of scriptures and teaching, and because that's who I am. I'm a teacher. I like teaching. I was talking with a young lady at one of my book signings a few years ago, and she asked me, had I ever thought about illustrating one of my books because people like to be entertained? I was like, no, I never thought about it, and always saw novels as hard, and, you know, they're a lot harder to write for me than topic-related books. But one day I said, well, let me sit down and see what I could come up with to see if I can show a person going through life and coming into this understanding of destiny and purpose, but in a way where either a Christian or non-Christian could read it and get something out of it. And so that's what... that's what birthed Dante's Destiny. And once I started writing down the characters and the story, I was having so much fun with it, creating stuff, that I just kept going. And a lot of it wasn't even planned. I just kind of typed it up and just kind of kept typing, and different ideas would come to me as I typed. And I was having so much fun. Next thing you know, I had the book, and I said, well, let me put it out here and see what happens. And actually, when I finished it, I saw that it had outreach potential because it's a book that I can put into the hands of a person who's not a believer. They'll read it
and attain
value, but then still get some principles, understanding of destiny, and then when you get to the back of the book, I have excerpts from my first 2 books, which have scriptures and references to the Bible, and so it's a tool that can be used to not only... And, you know,
that's
spark
great.
Thinking, but kind of slide in the gospel, you know, in a clever way. And I didn't really think about it in that way until it was done.
Right.
And, you know, so that's really the concept behind the novel, to reach a broader audience. So now I can market that to both Christians and non-Christians and, you know, hopefully still get the same message of destiny out.
Those who are just tuning in with us, we are talking to James A. Jemison, who is a Christian author of many books that are out there, and one of the 2 that we are reading is Give Me Destiny, and also the other one is Dante Destiny. And one of the questions I usually ask a lot of authors that come on the show, James, is, are you currently independent, or are you with a major publishing company?
I'm independent.
And why do you think it's very important as a Christian author to be independent versus going to a major publishing company?
Well, I never thought about it that way.
Okay.
I self-publish. There's 2 different companies that I use that are like print-on-demand companies, and I wanted to ensure that my work would get published.
Okay.
When I did my first book, Chapter 1, it was my first. I didn't know anything about the publishing industry. And I knew of another member who wrote a book of poetry. She's also a Christian, so she told me about the company, and I just used them. And it was such a easy process. It's like a one-stop shop. I just kept using those type of companies to publish my books. I wouldn't have to deal with rejection letters and waiting to hear from someone if they decided if my work was good enough.
Do you feel that you have more freedom being independent versus being with a major publishing company that maybe have stipulations or and you're limited to certain things that you can do with your book as far as sales and all the other things that are included in a contract with a major publishing company?
Yes, and that was another reason. You know, I like the idea of being able to have my book published verbatim. I can say whatever I want about God, about Christ, about my life. No one would have the right to say, oh, you should change this, or oh, we don't like the cover. Every cover of my book, I either picked it or designed it.
Yeah.
The titles, layout, everything, I had full control over it. I had the full rights to the book, even to the point where I could take any of my books and go to another publishing company and have it published by another publisher. So I'm not locked in even to the publishing companies that I'm currently using. I can still submit it to a major publishing company, do whatever I want. So I did it also for that level of control. It's my heart. You know, you're giving birth to your baby, if you will, and so you don't want to just turn your baby over to someone. You want to have control. You want to have influence and nurture that dream. So by me doing it this way, I can do that. I can market it any way I want. And I found out that even the traditional way of publishing, they will only work with you maybe a month or so when your book comes out. And if it doesn't take off, you're on your own.
Wow.
So it doesn't guarantee, just because you get picked up by a major publisher, that you're going to be, you know, a millionaire, the next, you know, Bishop Jakes or something. You still got to do the footwork. Pretty much what I've been doing, I've been going to book signings, I've been calling, networking. You know, when people say, hey, we want to do an interview, I jump on it. I don't care. I took off work once to do an interview. I make it happen, because if I don't, no one else will.
Wow.
So you still have to do those kinds of things even when you get picked up by a major publisher. And I found this out by people who've gone that route and got bonuses and thinking, oh, wow, we're going to get paid. And then once the book starts selling, they don't see any money because they have to pay back that bonus.
That bonus.
That advance.
Wow.
So, you know, so a lot of people are going independent and doing their own thing because it can become a gimmick or a racket, just like a lot of other industries, until you gain full control over it. So,
if a person who wants to become a Christian writer comes to you and asks you for advice, because we do have a lot of listeners who are interested in being writers, and they might just be at that point, they don't know what to do or how to start it or any of the tools or instructions or guidelines that they need, what would you tell them? Or what's some advice you would give them?
I would first start by saying, make sure that what you want to say is worth reading.
Okay.
You have to believe that within your heart, that what God has put on your heart, what you've experienced, your testimony, I believe everyone's testimony is powerful and worth reading. And that's why my first book was my own personal testimony. So I would say start there. Make sure that what you have on your heart is really worth people reading. It has meat. It has substance. It has value. You have to believe that, because if you don't believe it, it's going to be hard to communicate it in the work. Two, begin to network with other authors. They can also contact me. I can, you know, connect them with, you know, literature. There are books out here for creative writing as well as marketing. So I'm more than happy to have people email me and talk to me with their questions. But that's where I would start, settling the vision of writing, you know, and making sure that what you want to say is worth reading and making sure that it's based on the Word. Because if you're a Christian writer, then it should be based on the Word of God. And so you then have to have an understanding of the Word. So So that means studying the word and making sure that you understand it so you can then properly communicate it to people when they read your book. And I think that's the foundation. Everything else will flow based on the individual's creativity and uniqueness of who they are. You know, my style of writing is going to be different from someone else because we're just different people. And so that you want that flavor to be in your work.
And you were saying that they can contact you because we're almost winding down. This is a good show.
Okay.
But I want people to know where they can buy your book, how they can contact you, and all that great stuff, all the information, because we want to make sure that all the information is relayed to the audience so they know where to purchase your book and how to contact you personally.
Okay. Well, they can buy all four of my books at Amazon.com.
Okay.
Just go to Amazon.com and type in my name, James A. Jimison. That's J-I-M as in Mary, A-S-O-N. And once you type in my name in the search window above, all four books will appear. You can also email me at jjimison, that's J-J-I-M as in Mary, A-S-O-N, at AOL.com. I also have a MySpace site, www.myspace.com/Dante's with an S, Destiny. And if you go to my MySpace site, I have PayPal for all four of my books, and that's another way you can get autographed copies. So if you want autographed copies, go to my MySpace site.
Okay.
Or email me and let me know, and we'll make arrangements. If you have any questions about writing, about who I use as a publisher, anything, please, please email me. I love doing that. I love encouraging people and helping them to fulfill their dreams. So don't hesitate with any questions about anything you've heard today, anything, just email me. And just put in, you know, I heard you on the radio or something, so I know not to spam you.
Because we do get a lot of that.
I get a lot of spam, so, you know, you got to put, you know, I heard you on the radio or Anointed Sounds, anything like that. Just put that in the subject line so you won't go in the wrong box.
We're about to trash. The leap box is trash. But also, just to add to that, too, James' book is also, if you're listening live, you will see that his book is scrolling, both his book, Give Me Destiny and Dante's Destiny, it's scrolling across because our site is also hooked up with Amazon, and they can purchase the book just by listening live right now
on the
site. So make sure you do that. But if you want that signed autograph, as James just stated, you go where, James?
www.myspace.com/Dante's Destiny.
All right. And is there any last words you'd like to give to our audience today?
Destiny is calling you. Can you hear it?
Amen.
All right. Ooh. Yeah, you hear me. All right. We'd like to thank you so much for tuning in, James. We definitely appreciate your time and also coming in to tell us a little bit about book writing as well as the books and inspiration of you writing both of these books is very awesome. And also thank you for our autograph copies. We appreciate that as well. We appreciate that as well. We'd like to thank everyone for tuning in to the Anointed Thought Show. And Lisa, is there anything you'd like to say for the audience today before we disperse?
I'd just like to thank you for coming on the show and sharing with us a piece of yourself. I really appreciate it.
Oh, no problem. Thank you for inviting me, and it's been a pleasure, and hopefully we can do it again.
We sure will.
All right.
Again, everybody, make sure you tune into Anointed Sounds Radio 24 hours a day at www.anointedsounds.com on the Anointed Thought Show, bring you everyday topics from the Christian perspective. Thank you so much, and God bless.
You're a different one.